Next up, Fran Michel discusses the recent success of Oregon's Reproductive Health Equity Act. Fran?
Fran Michel here with some good news for a change. The Oregon legislature has passed the Reproductive Health Equity Act, which will ensure that Oregonians, regardless of income, citizenship status, gender identity, or, with a few exceptions, type of insurance, will have access to the full range of preventive reproductive health services, including contraception, abortion, and postpartum care. This victory offers important lessons about how to continue making gains for equity and empowerment in the face of the national government's push to the right, and the law offers important ground for building toward further health equity, including single payer. Although the Reproductive Health Equity Act, like the Affordable Care Act, includes an exemption for religious employers, it largely moves counter to the trend in many other states and at the federal level to restrict access to reproductive health care. With this bill, Oregon will become only the second U.S. state, after California, to require private insurers to cover all abortions. In contrast, 25 states restrict abortion coverage allowed in plans offered through their state insurance exchanges. And funding is only one method of restriction. Just this year, according to the Guttmacher Institute, legislators in 28 states have introduced 88 measures that would ban abortions completely or under certain circumstances, while another 5 states have already adopted 10 major new abortion restrictions. The federal government, since the 1976 Hyde Amendment, has prohibited using federal funds to cover termination of pregnancy, except in cases of rape, incest, or endangerment to the life of the mother. The common exception for rape, of course, helps reveal that the driving concern in controlling access to abortion is less the purported life of the fetus than it is the right of women to choose to be sexually active. But federal funds have been supporting other forms of reproductive health care. Medicaid is indispensable for ensuring that low-income people have coverage for family planning, pregnancy-related care, STI testing and treatment, and other reproductive health services. But right-wing policymakers are seeking to undermine or even dismantle Medicaid, the source of health coverage for 74 million U.S. residents, including 13 million U.S. women of reproductive age. A contributor to Forbes calculated that the Republican health bill will provide about $3 million in tax cuts to the wealthy for each person who dies because of loss of access to health care. Even if the Republican bill passes, the Reproductive Health Equity Act will make safe, legal abortion more affordable and more accessible for about 43,000 Oregonians whose insurance plans have prohibitively high deductibles. But the Reproductive Health Equity Act concerns more than just abortion, and uniquely, it includes access provisions for non-documented women and anti-discrimination protections for transgender and gender non-conforming Oregonians. It will remove barriers that hinder access to essential reproductive health care services, including prenatal care and life-saving cancer screenings for transgender and gender non-conforming Oregonians. It will expand postpartum care to about 48,000 Oregonians who have coverage for labor and delivery that drops immediately after birth. It will help almost 19,000 Oregon residents who are forced to pay out-of-pocket costs for preventive health services, including contraception, and it will continue to ensure that all Oregonians receive the full range of preventive reproductive health services at zero out-of-pocket cost, even if the Affordable Care Act is overturned. It will safeguard the right to abortion, even if Roe v. Wade is overturned. This legislation is not just a response to the Trump administration. The bill was developed, written, and supported over the last 3 years, through the work of people directly affected by these obstacles to health care, and through the work of organizations that have been building the knowledge, capacity, and community to develop legislation, educate voters, petition the state, lobby legislators, and get out the vote. Like the Cover All Kids bill, which also passed the Oregon House this past week, making Oregon the 7th state in the nation to provide health care for all children, regardless of residency status, and up to 300% of the federal poverty level. The Reproductive Health Equity Act is the product of long years of work on the part of many, many groups and individuals. The success and value of such legislation requires the thoughtful and long-term work of a wide and diverse coalition of activists. The steering committee of the Pro-Choice Coalition included not just reproductive health care organizations, the state groups for NARAL and Planned Parenthood, but also legal and community organizations and racial and gender justice groups, including the Oregon Latino Health Coalition, the Asian Pacific American Network of Oregon, APANO, the ACLU of Oregon, Family Forward Oregon, which works at the intersection of family and labor issues for family-friendly workplace policy, and the Western State Center, which works to connect and build the power of community organizations to achieve racial, gender, and economic justice. The list of supporting groups is even longer and more diverse, but special mention should go to We Are Brave, a project of the Western State Center led by women of color and focusing, as the acronym indicates, on building reproductive autonomy and voices for equity. Kara Camusino, the Director of Programs and Strategies at APANO, describes the work that began 3 years ago to make the bill a success. In those 3 years, quote, APANO members and staff have supported a truly coalitional effort that collected nearly 10,000 petition signatures, gave dozens of workshops on strong families and reproductive justice, created art and collected stories to include transgender and gender nonconforming people, as well as immigrants and refugees in the narratives around who needs reproductive health care. They launched a Mend the Gap report that directly challenged the myth that everyone in Oregon already has access to the reproductive health care they need. And they built a policy and a campaign that centered the stories of those who need this win the most. End quote. APANO has a handy link for thanking the legislators who passed the bill. But as Carmosino notes, the victory belongs to many people, from those who canvassed events 2 summers ago, to those who bravely shared their stories, to those who signed petitions and lobbied in the Capitol. The importance of that wide and diverse coalition goes back to the origins of the bill and its design. Collaboratively developed to address the needs of marginalized communities, it was written by and for those who have been most impacted by the gaps existing in reproductive health care, to address the things that those communities themselves said they needed. Although some of the arguments brought to bear in support of the bill pointed to economic questions, highlighting, for instance, the fact that birth control is cheaper than maternity care, saving money was just part of the strategy. It was never the goal. The goal is better health care, and thus better health and better lives. By lifting up the voices and supporting the advocacy of the least advantaged, these organizers have helped improve the lives of tens of thousands of Oregonians and have demonstrated that the intersectional approach is not just ethical, but effective. Their work has provided examples of how to expand access to healthcare and has moved us closer to providing healthcare for all. If you're interested in working for a state single-payer system in Oregon, you might want to check out the work of Healthcare for All Oregon. They're offering a free screening this Wednesday of the video Sick Around the World, Other Rich Countries Have Universal Healthcare, Why Don't We? It'll be at noon on Wednesday at the Multnomah County Health Department, 426 Southwest Stark, in the 10th floor conference room. HCAO's calendar on their website, hcao.org, lists other events and meetings around the state. For the Old Mole Variety Hour, this has been Fran Michelle.
That come together to stand united. The voices of toiling masses gather, our voices heighten. We want our lows lightened, we want our wrongs righted. Any attempt to control our bodies, we poised to fight it. Gon' blame the system, that's accurate. But if we claim our inaction, that's activist. Our body's not a target, yet it's under attack. Forward together, never a single step back.